You know, Michael, I was trying to tell you the story about myself exposing to the cameras there, you know. Why do I do that? Intrinsically, I'm a shy person. Mm-hmm. Intrinsically. Yeah. In many other ways, except the cameras. So, there was a time when we led a life with Baba, followed him and all that. And he didn't have his following at that time, as is said to be a following, except when you'd go to the west, there was a little tiny group there, or in the east, the Mandali all around him and all that. We were not exposed to any foreign, any element, outside element, you see, or human beings. There came a time when whatever it be, you may call it his divinity or his will or his pleasure, drew people around him. And sizable little crowd was there. And naturally, in front of Baba, they would use their cameras and they would take the snaps of Baba. At that time, there were brownie cameras, you know, those clicks and all that sort of thing. Nothing sophisticated and all that. It seemed that I had been outside. Baba sent me with a message or something like that to somebody, and somebody stopped me and says, "Please pose for me, please." I said, "This is not the time for that. I don't want you to take snaps of me and waste your film like that. Don't do that. If you want it, you can have Baba's pictures. Why do you want to have my picture?" I just raised my voice. From here, Baba must have overheard my speaking loudly. I don't know whether he heard every word or anything. So when I came back, Baba says, "What were you talking? Who was that person?" So I just complained to him. I said, "Baba, he was wasting his film on me and he wanted to have a snap of me and I told him to not do that." He looked grimly at me. "What do you take yourself to be? Why are you so presumptuous? A person wants to have a shot at you? Why? Who are you to say no to them? Go back and tell them now to take your snap. Go there. Don't be so presumptuous." So since then, I have left off being presumptuous.
At least for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Since then you became famous and you have pictures all over the world.
Yeah, it seems so. There are pictures of people who are criminals too.
They're in every post office.
You must have your picture at the post office if you got a letter that was addressed Erich Chiswala, Marizad, India, right?
Yeah, that's true.
That letter came faster than some of the regular letters. Yeah. But there's been some other odd ones.
But you know what happens is that even if I used to go out in the early years, it is his glory. His glory, I mean. So whenever people would see us, they would equate us with, "Well, is Mehr Baba coming here that you are going out somewhere to make arrangements? Is he going in the town, coming in the town inside here? He'll be staying here?" I said, "No, we are on some other work." "Oh, he's not coming." As soon as he would see, anybody would see me or one of the Mandali, immediately they would think of Mehr Baba coming here, staying here, or coming on a tour or something like that. "Has he come here in the town?" Like that. Yeah. So Baba would always tell us one little thing that always has stuck into my head. You want to hear that little episode? There was a great king here. It's a true story. Ruling over the vast dominions of India, and India was not just this India that you see nowadays, partitioned and all that. It was spread out far and wide. So the Mughal emperor was there, and some or other. Well, there was a vacancy for another slave. You know, that at that time slaves were there. So they must have found out, the people who were around, and they produced a slave in front of the emperor for his personal attendance. He wanted one slave. So the emperor looks at him and says, What's your name? Sire, whatever is given to me by you. People were wondering whether you'll get wild or something like that. What will you want to do? Whatever is your pleasure. The king said, emperor said, enroll him. He'll be my personal attendant here in the inside the court. So that's how he came. And his name was Ayaz. Have you heard the story of Ayaz? He has become very famous because of him being the model slave. So what happened is that the great emperor would hold courts and there'll be a lot of things done inside the court, you know. He had to attend to some arbitration or justice to be dispensed, or this or that or anything, or final orders are to be given. Somebody is to be beheaded and somebody has to be put in a prison and this and that and all that. So every now and again, when he would consult his ministers who were there, great ministers were there, afterwards he would turn to Ayaz standing behind him. He says, Ayaz, you have heard all this, what's your opinion about it? He was very frank and he would give his opinion. And it was such that the king had to accept whatever he would say. Not once, not twice, but very frequently he had to do that. He had to, because it was so logical and so reasonable. So the ministers over there were very embarrassed with such situation. You see, an ordinary slave is being heard by the emperor and his opinion is being regarded, and whatever be say, suggest or do or say is just has no meaning. So somehow or other they had an eye on him and they wanted to do away with him. Why is it like that? What sort of a relationship is it between the king, the emperor and this slave? Who has just come, hardly 2 years have passed by and all that. So the emperor wanted to do justice to whosoever he be. So one day, trying to test all of them and bring home to them, why is it that I always pay heed to what he says? So that's the story now. Baba told us this story. And the story is, that one day, when there was not much work in the court, he was sitting and they were having good time, chats and pleasantries are exchanged, and he was looking at his signet ring, you know. So he was fiddling with it, and he took it out, and he was examining it. He says, all the time I have this ring in my around my finger, but what's its worth? Do you all know? Can you fix a price for it? What could it be? What could be the price? Price? So one of the ministers said that, well, he examined it and said, well, it can be no less than 1,000 dinars. Means 1,000 gold coins. The other one is being passed round and round and round and round. Variations are there of the price. They got fed up. One of the very old minister was there. He said, sire, may I suggest something? We are wasting our time over this. Why not we call a jeweler over here, a royal jeweler, and he will immediately tell us, assess the price. He said, that's a good idea. We never thought of it. Why? Yeah, call him. So he was summoned and he examines it. It was placed on a table in front of the king and he takes it up and he examines it. And he fixed it at 3,000 dinars. 3,000 dinars? Fine. After all had been tested, including the royal jeweler, as usual, he said, Ayaz, what? You haven't tried it. You didn't say anything about it. Come on, see. Just see. What price do you fix? So in obedience to the command of the emperor, he comes down, bends there, and takes it and examines it. And he says boldly and loudly to the emperor, "Sire, the Lord of the universe, all I can say this, as long as it lies on the table here in front of you, to me it is worthless, it has no price. But no sooner it is round your finger, it is priceless." Just king just raised his eyebrows like that. So Baba says, "Remember that as long as you are round my finger, the worth is priceless. But no sooner you get detached, your hands are, the grip on from my diamond is let loose, and you get detached, you're worthless." That's how he told us. Yeah. And he says, "Why are these people remembered? Peter, John, James, Mark, Matthew, and all that. Why are they remembered? Not because of what, who they were, because they held on to the garment of the Lord. He is eternal. As long as He is there, they will be remembered." That's what He told us. Yeah. So Ralph, we have become world famous, you say. It is not we who have become. It's His Dhamman that has become world famous. Yeah. If we hold on to it, well, that's right.